Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Warner. Today, we talk with Democratic candidate for U.S. House District 6, Mr. Henry Martin. Henry, thank you for joining me this morning. First thing I'll be asking you is simply about you. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that led you to want to run for U.S. House District 6.
Well, my name is Henry Martin. I've basically spent my entire life in public service, following my graduation from high school in Jefferson City. I joined the Army, and when I got out of the Army, I went to school, got my degree, and I've been an educator for the past 23 years. Several years ago, all the way back, I could probably say all the way back is my first active political activism was in 2001 or 2002 when I wrote then President George W. Bush about No Child Left Behind. As the way it was written initially, it was a formula for disaster for our public schools. So that was my first act of political activism. As time went on, I noticed that partisanship was becoming more and more a part of what we're doing, and the hyper-partisanship in Washington does not lend to the governance that people require, that our country deserves. So I started looking into potentially running for office, and I looked around, and the first time I looked around, and I was too late because I coached football and wrestling, and usually by the time wrestling season's over, I just need a break, and so I'd take that break, and I came out, and it was too late for filing, and I decided to help a candidate at the time who was running in the sixth, and then I continued my own research on the sixth after he lost. And then in 2016, I was again too late to register. And by 2018, I finally got my act together and I've done a lot of homework, and I felt that this race was one that could be won by the right candidate. I felt that with some homework and some time with a person with no name, it would be best because now we can hold the sitting occupant accountable to his record. And that was my plan all along. So 2018, we ramped up, and it was my first go. And there's books out there on how to run for office, but they don't tell you some of the nuances. So we failed in the general. And I realized the biggest thing is I needed money. So in 2020, we tried to apply that lesson, and we fell short in 2020 in the primary, largely due to COVID. And I hadn't built the campaign to be nimble, to be able to react to changes in the landscape. So COVID got us, and now here we are in 22. We've taken the lessons from 2018 and 2020, and we've use them to build a campaign that has been sustained, that I believe is strong enough to beat an incumbent. The only thing we're doing now is we're raising money so that we can ensure that victory. We've even gotten as far as we have great poll numbers that show that we're in a statistical tie with my opponent at 43.6% and me at 39%. So I believe that I'm tired of arguing over health care. That is something that people just need, and I don't understand why it's so difficult to make that happen. That is one of the pillars of my campaign. American families shouldn't go broke from the onset of a major illness or injury. I can speak to my own personal experience. I lost my wife in 2012. And her passing was extremely sudden, and we did not know there was anything wrong. And she had just lost a job that she had, and with it lost her insurance, so she had to go back on my insurance. And so we were waiting until my insurance was active with her on it before we really went down the road and pursued the attention she needed from healthcare, because we had started because she just wasn't feeling right. And then by the time, you know, it was active, it was too late. Then I watched my sister get sick, and her husband, she and her husband, it was a big issue. She was in a coma for a month, and then after she came out, she's been recovering all these years. That was 2017 that she went down. Then I watched a younger brother die because of poor treatment in our healthcare system. Basically, healthcare has been a big deal. Justice is also an issue, because American families shouldn't be sentenced to perpetual poverty because of a minor mishap with the law. It should be a lot easier, and we shouldn't have to worry about paying fines and fees and all the stuff that goes along with paying your debt to society for whatever wrong you did. I've seen and heard from a lot of prosecutors and judges that have a lot of programs that I think we should take them national. I think it would go a long way to helping clean up our criminal justice system, because our justice system should be designed to rehabilitate and bring people back into the fold, not throw people away. And then finally, the last part of this campaign is our democracy. Our democracy is at stake right now. We have the Republican Party right now has embraced Trumpism to the point that they are prepared to basically sacrifice our democracy to keep their people elected. And that is not what I put on the uniform for this country for. Public service is just that. It's serving the public. And when the public decides that it's time for you to go home, it's time for you to go home. There was an acceptance of the former president's win when he won in 2016. There were protests when he won, but there was an acceptance, and we moved on, and people just mobilized. So that's what brought me here. That's how I got into this. And I'm hoping that we're able to capitalize on these great poll numbers, and we're able to win a seat and representation for the entire 6th Congressional.
So the next several questions are going to be based on polling data that shows, you know, what it is that Americans and Missourians are wanting to hear about from their lawmakers. And the top of mind, as it has been all year, is inflation and gas prices. So simply put, how should Congress act to help out Missourians who are feeling the pinch of these rising prices?
Well, one of the ways that Congress can bring down prices for Missourians is to get Missourians a pay raise. We need to raise the federal minimum wage. It's been stuck at $7.25 since 2010. It's long beyond time for a real increase in the federal minimum wage. Actually, I think it's been longer. I think it might go back as far as 2007. So that's one way. Putting more money in Americans' pockets to help offset the cost of living. Minimum wage has not kept up with inflation. I do know here in Missouri that it took a ballot referendum for us to raise the minimum wage. And personally, I think it's time for us to establish an independent commission to raise the minimum wage. And I will support and possibly even spearhead a bill to make that happen, so that we can see minimum wage increases that are commensurate with the increase in inflation. From year to year, so that inflation doesn't hit people as hard. That's one thing that we can do. The other thing we can do is we can keep making the smart investments in the American people that keeps them employed and keeps the economy moving.
So the other big thing is abortion, and it's been on a lot of people's minds ever since the overturning of Roe v. Wade this past summer. And the response I've noticed from politicians has kind of been all over the place. You have some saying it's a state issue, and then there's lawmakers at the federal level who will introduce a federal abortion law like Senator Lindsey Graham did. So in general, where do you sit on the abortion debate as well as sexual health?
Well, our poll shows that 70% of the voters in the 6th congressional district believe that abortion should be legal. So Missouri's trigger law is not popular among our voters. What Congress needs to do, and they should have done it shortly after Roe v. Wade was actually decided, is they need to codify Roe v. Wade. And basically nobody's cheering on, oh, let's abortions everywhere. Nobody's doing that. What people are saying is that it is the responsibility of Congress to respect, to protect people's rights across the board. The Supreme Court in the Dobbs decision, basically punting it back to the states, that's not them protecting people's rights. And I understand where the court found the way they found, but it also, it's congressional responsibility to see to it that the rights of every individual are respected, regardless of people's moral fixation.
So one of the big issues, at least here in Northwest Missouri, and I assume across the state, is infrastructure and rural internet. How should Congress tackle this issue?
Well, it's beyond time for us to treat the internet as a public utility, and we need to do exactly what Roosevelt did in the 1930s. And make it our mission to see to it that every household in every community has access to reliable high-speed internet. One of the Build Back Better plan that Mr. Graves has voted no to, the bipartisan infrastructure plan that Mr. Graves has voted no to, are both bills that could, that will, that have and will bring money to our rural areas to see to it they get those things up and running. It is critical in order to compete for 21st century jobs for our smaller communities to be able to attract those jobs that can be worked remotely. Those jobs oftentimes carry a pretty good salary, which actually helps the GDP of the general area. So it is the responsibility of Congress to see to it that every American and every American community has the same chance at their version of the American dream.
So this question is directed at an issue that really isn't popping up in polling, but it is still important because Missourians will be voting on it next month. And that is the legalization of recreational marijuana under Amendment 3. Now, if it is legalized, Missouri would become the 20th state to do so in the country. So my question is, what should Congress do with marijuana at the federal level? Decriminalize, reanalyze it, or just simply leave it as it is?
Yes. Since the president won't remove marijuana from Schedule 1, Congress can do that through legislation. I don't believe that Congress should be making laws that basically restrict an adult from making an adult decision. If an adult chooses to do something specific that is for them, then they should be allowed to do so. It is not the role of our government at all to dictate personal conduct. As long as my personal conduct does not interfere with someone else's rights, what I do with myself is up to me. So it is imperative that Congress go ahead and remove marijuana from Schedule 1 and see to it that these marijuana businesses can operate in the daylight, because as long as it's on Schedule 1, they cannot have regular bank accounts. So it basically makes the cost of doing business greater for those businesses than any other business.
All right. Well, those are all the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just a handful of statements. Mr. Graves supported not certifying the election in 2021 on January 6th. And to me, as a veteran of our armed services, that amounts to, well, basically aiding and abetting those folks in something akin to treason, an insurrectionist. And so by the 14th Amendment, he should be disqualified. But we don't have the political will to do that. We don't have the political will to withdraw, to get people out of office right now, which is unfortunate. So given that scenario, we should consider what to do with Mr. Graves and others like him. At the end of the day, we have a responsibility to uphold the Constitution of the United States, not to sit around and wait. And then finally, of course, as I said, we do have we have a poll, and I can say this: we've had 22 years of Mr. Graves. Since Mr. Graves has been in office, we have seen the hyperpartisanship increase. We have seen our economy come to almost a screeching halt in 2008. We've seen the gap between those who have and have not grow astronomically. It is the position of myself in this campaign that it is time for a change. We've seen that when our Republican brothers are at the helm, they tend to cut spending in areas that are actually kind of critical. But they cut spending in places where people who are relatively affluent or people who are solvent don't feel it. But we see the number of homeless people on our streets. We see the number of kids that come to school unprepared to learn. The list goes on and on. It's time for change so that we can make the changes that are necessary to see to it that every American gets their opportunity at their American dream.
All right, sir, thank you for joining me this morning. Once again, that is Democratic candidate for U.S. House District 6, Henry Martin. I'm Jeremy Warner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.